So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. Today, with me, I have, and I'm very excited, I have Chris Bergen, who is a legend, and I'm going to turn into, hopefully not turn into too much of a fanboy, but Chris, thank you so much for making some time to talk to us today about your new book. But
Adrian, my pleasure.
it's all mine, really. But for many people who have heard of you, but for the benefit of those listeners and readers that haven't, can you tell us a bit about you and the work that you do?
Sure. I'm the CEO and president of a company called Human Business Works. What our mission is to really help companies figure out, and professionals within companies figure out what they want to do to work better, to tell bigger stories, to be brave in how they do their business. What I do is I had originally worked mostly with very large companies, and I've come around to turning it to talking specifically to professionals so that anyone from the solo entrepreneur up to the person who's in an 80,000 person organization can really get the same benefit. Because at the bottom of it all, what I want people to do is work towards having sustainable, relationship-minded business. That's really the only big difference, Adrian. I do publishing and media for ideas and thoughts around how to help people just build relationship-based business instead of transaction-based business.
That's music to my ears because I on my blog is what I focus on. I focus on writing about stuff and talking about stuff because I believe that and about how companies can build better relationships with their people and their customers and how that can drive sustainable growth. And so sounds like we're on the same page, which is fantastic.
Grand.
So your new book, written with Julian Smith, is out in the UK on October the 25th, and it's called The Trust Equation. So tell us all about it. What's the scoop?
So the impact equation is about how do you take a great idea, how do you get it to a platform of people who care, how do you make the people actually take some kind of an action? And so in the premise of this book is the idea that with Trust Agents, Julian Smith and I's first book, the idea was how do you build a relationship? How do you establish a reputation, earn trust? Because people just really weren't understanding how do you be human at a distance, basically, is the new requirement in this new world. With the impact equation, where we kind of follow on is we said, wow, it just seemed like there was this, we thought everyone kind of followed what we were thinking, and maybe we didn't explain it well. So here's a better way to kind of give a new hash of some related ideas that will help you get a little further than just trust, which is how do you make your idea stand out from other people? How does it go as far as you need it to go? How do you make people trust that the idea is something worthwhile? How do you build a platform of value underneath you? This is where people have one of these three things. They either have a good idea but not a big enough platform. They either have a really great platform but nothing to say. Or maybe they've got a great idea and a great platform, but they just don't really haven't made people care about what they're saying. They just look like that person who talks all the time. So we said there's an equation that we could give you that would let you work on all the elements it would take you to succeed and do this. And
So
that's what we did.
before we go to the equation, so what you're saying is that because one of your colleagues and I was looking at some of the stuff around the book and is talking about you've got the four different things, like you say, there's goals, idea, platform, and what you call a network of value.
Yes.
And but some people may have one or two of those things, but not necessarily the whole thing. But then you say, actually, this equation that we're going to come to now, this is how you break those four things down to make it be a bit more systematic. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, with trust agents, we wrote a trust equation that we stole partly from David and Charlie, who wrote the book The Trusted Advisor, David Meister and Charlie Green. I'm just looking to the page that actually says the equation because I know you're going to ask me it, and it's not like I have it memorized or anything. So here we go. So in impact equation, the reason we came up with this is that, people tend to think this way. They tend to think if I put something in this bucket and something in this bucket, then I know what I'll have. And when we go to get physically healthy, I mean, the real answer to getting healthy is move a lot more often, eat a lot less bad thing, and no one ever does it. So if I say, well, lose 20 pounds or lose two pant sizes, you click. It's an equation, right? It's a math thing. So with impact equation, we came up with this thing. It was called impact equals create, which is contrast times reach plus exposure plus articulation plus trust plus echo. By the way, Adrian, I have to tell you the first and most surprising thing is people who are reading advanced copies of the book are arguing with our math And I'm saying, who cares? Shut up. Read the book. You know, I mean, it's terrible because they're really like, well, as a mathematician, I'm like, we just made it up. It's not real math. No one's going to land a spaceship with our math here. So it's
but
okay.
Then, I think the next thing is going to be is like, well, if it's not just, if you're not a product or it's not an additive or multiplicative sort of relationship, is like, well, how do you measure reach and exposure and articulation, and how do you kind of, you know, what is going to be the scale to measure that? And that's a whole other headache and heap of trouble.
Agreed. And you know, we believe in measurement. We believe in measuring numbers that matter. That's been a tenet at my company, Human Business Works, since I started.
Yeah.
Because people were coming to me saying, I need 1 million views on YouTube. And I would say, oh, you've gotten the wrong employee here. Let's talk about how my company works. And I'd say, I measure revenue because I don't care if you had 1 million views. If it doesn't ring your cash register, then I've done nothing for you.
Sure.
And so I measure revenue. I measure subscriber growth. I measure things that can have actual deliverable impact. And so you're right. The next thing people will come after is, so where are the numbers underneath this formula? And we point to some in the book. We give some examples of how one measures, because Julian Smith and I both have read a lot of business books, and both of us have that feeling like, you know, it just seems like people write these great ideas, but they're just ideas. How do we articulate them in a way that someone could run with them and actually do something? So we give a lot of recipes for success throughout the book.
No, I mean, that's a great word, because I was thinking about that too, because it's a bit like you could Google, how do I make the best soda bread, let's say, as a random example, and you can go to Google and you could type in best recipe for making soda bread, and more than likely you will find at least 101 different variations of how to make the best soda bread in the world, right?
Agreed.
And I guess that's what you're talking about. It's going, this is a recipe, but sometimes you've got to figure out what's your balance between the different things that you need to do to create the sort of impact that you want to create, depending on where you are in your life, your market, your maturity, all of that sort of stuff. Is that right?
Exactly so. And some people like their soda bread a little creamier. I like mine saltier. It's the same thing.
Yeah. So who's it? I mean, you talked about at the beginning, you talked about with Human Business Works, you talked about working with different people, with professionals or sort of up to mid-size, mid-cap sort of companies up to the 80,000 sort of level. Actually, that would probably cover most companies, in fact. I used to work for Shell, and they had about 80,000-90,000. They're one of the biggest companies in the world.
Right.
So who's the book aimed at? I mean, specifically, I mean, because you wrote a blog post about the impact equation for looking for work. And
sure.
So who's the book aimed at?
Professionals who would like to work the way they want to work and do it better. Okay. Meaning, if you are a mid-level marketing manager at BP, say, perhaps you are still someone who needs to do something a different way.
Okay.
I mean, think about all the transformation BP's gone through quite recently. First, trying to escape the idea of petroleum being the only product they sell.
Yeah.
And then second, after sullying the U.S. Gulf shores, they had to come back around and say, wow, we're community-minded. See, here's us being community-minded. And,
yes, indeed.
You know,
yeah.
So if you're that person, then you are looking for, well, how do I stand out around other people's message? What do I do? It's also for every single individual out there who's like a solo business or an author or something like that. Listen, Adrian, on the way to this call, to this very call, a woman stopped me in the parking lot of my building. And I can't remember her name. Nice lady, older-ish. And she says to me, oh, Chris, I've been looking for you. And I thought, well, it's a rare day you find me. I'm usually on an airplane, but what's up? She says, I have a friend and she's 81 and she's running out of ideas and she's going to need some help and she needs you.
Okay.
And I was thinking, perhaps you confused me with a nursing home. And she said, well, she's written some books, see, and they're on Amazon, but she's not getting the sales she needs. She needs them to be viral. Can you help her? And I thought, my gosh, 81-year-old author. Sure can.
Yeah.
I can't wait to help this woman.
Yes.
But what's her problem, Adrian? Is she probably has a great idea. She has no platform. Who's she selling to? The Kindle users in the nursing home?
Yeah.
You know, she's got to really work at, you know, finding a kind of a platform for her great ideas. And she's got to, you know, build a network of value where she connects with people who do care and who have something to add. So there you go. An 81-year-old author in a nursing home. That's one of my clients.
Excellent. That's fantastic. So, one of the things you do mention, a lot, and I think what I'm keen to do is, within all the sort of the brouhaha of social media and everything else, is people talk about platforms, but what you're not necessarily saying, and using that example specifically you've just given, is that you're not actually saying that you need a social media platform, right? You just need a platform.
The very, very first page of this book, you know, after all the, whatchamacallit, the front materials, I guess they call it, or front matter, and the dedications, is, ceci n'est pas un social networking book. So we are making sure that our friend Magritte has moved his way into the 21st century. This is not a book about social networking. It happens that the brush that Julian Smith and I paint with happens to be quite often social networks, but I write for a mainstream paper magazine. Should I have been stupid enough, I would go on regular television as well. I just don't have the time for such an endeavor. So I think, you know, you have to play the ball that you have in front of you. I mean, it's not really... Some people have a great mainstream connectivity. They may have a terrestrial radio, for instance. Sure. You know, over there, your BBC, if I was on BBC One and I was like an electronic dance music DJ bar none, I'm really only drawing the salary that the BBC pays me. But say I want to go to another level. I want to fly to Ibiza with these people.
Yeah,
I'm going to need to take my platform from the radio, where it's one way and there's hardly any response. I'm going to have to move it somewhere where I can actually communicate. Could be a newsletter. It could be a Facebook page. It could be anything. But I mean, what's the tool that's going to help you tell the story the right way? That's what we're talking about with the impact equation. So the platform for this 81-year-old lady, it depends what she's written about. Sure. If she's written about old people, then we're going to get some flyers out to some nursing homes and see what we can do there. If it's that, you know, it's you play a ball where it is, Adrian. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me it's almost in a way it's a 21st century back to basics message, which basically saying you've got a business or you've got a message or you've got a service that you want to deliver to somebody, but actually you've got to go to where they are, and that's the platform sort of thing. So it's like there's no point advertising on the radio if none of your potential listeners listen to the radio or are deaf, for example. And so it's like build the most appropriate platform for your audience. Is that fair?
It is fair. And it's funny, the biggest compliment we received about trust agents was, oh, this isn't anything new. This is common sense. And Dale Carnegie got the same compliment in 1930. So I'll take it any day. We sell common sense. I sell common sense every day, Adrian, because people don't do what is common.
I think that's absolutely right. And I have a thing that's because I'm playing around with a sort of a book idea right now, and based on some of the stuff I write about, and it's and one of the sort of the titles of the big themes is that common sense that's not very common. And almost like say, let's break it down. Let's look for simplicity, because we as humans seem to have a tendency to naturally complicate things. But actually, if we work a bit harder at it, simplicity is much more beautiful. It's much more useful. It's much more valuable. It's much more elegant. It's much more artful, all of that sort of stuff. And so I think, bravo, because it's, you know, the back to the basics, the simple messages, and pushing people to do things that are more straightforward is, it's worth saying, and it's worth saying kind of over and over and over again, if it helps people to make those, well, to lead simpler lives and more valuable and more impactful lives.
You know, in the 1950s, David Ogilvy on advertising was telling people that the customer is not the customer is not a moron, she's your wife. And he was explaining, you know, talk directly to this person as if they have a brain and as if they matter, and give them a wealth of information about the product or service you're selling. Yeah. This is content marketing told in 1950s.
Yeah.
There was a split in the road where someone said, you know, all advertisements are interruptions. And if you're going to interrupt someone, you might as well entertain them. So get in, get out, be funny, let them remember that you were kind of funny.
Sure.
And that's where advertising forked.
Yeah.
But Adrian, we don't care. I mean, yes, you and I get a laugh out of whatever commercial, you know, resonates with us. If we see the little boy with the Volkswagen and he's Darth Vader, we go, oh, that's funny. But it doesn't tell you.
It doesn't make
thing
us go out
about the car
and buy a Volkswagen necessarily.
Clearly, so you know, I could honestly rewrite the book Ogilvy on Advertising right now and make millions with it, because people would think it's a revolutionary new way to sell, which is tell people about what they're selling.
Yeah. So I have two final questions before we wrap up, because I know you're a bit short for time. So the first thing would be, finally, if I were to ask you for one piece of advice for someone that's just about to start on their journeys, what would it be? Like, where should they start? What would you say?
Well, so with regards to should they be jumping online, one thing I would say is that, you know, really always start with goals. Always start with, you know, what do you really want to get done here?
Yeah.
Most people think they know what their goal is. Most people say, well, I just need the most people in the world to see what I'm selling here, and I just whatever. But they don't. They need 200 buyers. They need 40 buyers. Whatever they need, that number. Then they start from there. And people are so they lie about their goals, Adrian. Yeah. They lie. They lie one direction or the other. I want to make the most money possible, and they're not really feeling that way. They're thinking, I just want to, you know, be able to survive and pay for my grandmom's, you know, retirement or whatever. The other thing they do in the other direction is they say the opposite. They're like, I just believe in the community. I just need a hug. And, you know, you can't eat a hug. So you've just got to go right down the middle and be really clear and accept and acknowledge where you are. After goals, what do you do? Really, the very first place I'd start online is a blog-based website, a website that is, you know, run on blogging software and maintain some level of continued relationship-building information, value-driven. Thereafter, the number one thing that I did wrong was I didn't work on an email newsletter list soon enough.
Right.
And so I'd say a really good, powerful email list, wherein which you are not writing HTML-formatted blog web pages rehashed, or you're not just sending your posts, but you're trying to build a relationship that matters.
Sure.
My email newsletter says, let's pull up a cup of coffee or tea, and let's just talk about how ways we can grow your business. And that's how I write it. It has a replyable email address, which somehow stuns people. You can actually reply and speak to me, not some employee.
That's what I
and
did.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
And that's it. So start there. Start with, you know, get the goal right and be clear and honest about your goal. Start building a blog-based platform so that the web can find you, and have an email list. Anything you do beyond that is up to you, whether or not you want to go to Google Plus or Twitter or wherever.
I think the one thing that I've also learned, I mean, I've been blogging now since 2009, and the thing that I've really learned is, one, it takes patience and hard work, but there's also a almost like an unwritten rule of thumb, it feels to me, that he who blogs the longest wins. Assuming that what you're blogging about has some inherent interest for the rest of the world, that is.
That is reasonable. That is a reasonable thing to say, because I would say that where people go wrong with that advice, I started blogging in 98, and yep. I would say that it took me 8 years to get my first 100 readers.
Okay.
And the reason was because, as you say, you know, you have to write about something they want. I wrote a lot about myself. I wrote about what was interesting to me. Once I learned to equip my customers and equip them for success, make your buyer the hero.
Yep.
Everything changed. That's the biggest possible, you know, change I realized, is once I was helpful, be helpful is my number one advice for any human being.
Yes.
Once I was helpful, everything changed.
Fantastic. And so my final question that I always end these conversations with is, what would you like to shamelessly plug?
What would I like to shamelessly plug? You know, I love a particular charity that goes out and feeds the homeless people and hungry people of the world, and it's called Skip One, and it is SKIP1.org, and the premise is so interesting. If you're going to skip a latte at Starbucks today, put the dollars into Skip One, and it'll feed a bunch of hungry kids. It's amazing. £3 could cover a whole lot of meals for people, because it just doesn't cost as much in other countries. So SkipOne.org is what I'll plug.
Fantastic. Chris, that's brilliant. I'll get all that linked up, and with links to the book and everything else. But thank you so much for your time today. That's been
my
splendid.
Pleasure. I had a blast. Thank you.
Thank you.